Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here, and we got lots to talk about on the program today, among them hot peppers. They can be a little challenging to grow in our part of the country, but it certainly can be done and is done. I don't know how many thousands of bushels of hot peppers are grown in the state, but it's a lot. And hot peppers are one of the National Garden Bureau's Year of Selections. And we have Peter Westerbeek with us, who works for commercial fruit and vegetable seed development company is Seminis, and is here to help us grow hot peppers. Peter, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
Back with us from the National Garden Bureau and All America Selections is Executive Director Diane Blazek. And Diane, thank you for coming back.
Oh, you bet. It's always good to be here.
Diane's going to talk about the other plants of the year as well with us, and of course, be taking your questions as well. Let's talk hot peppers for just a second. You grow them, had some problems with them, need some help, want some suggestions on what to grow? I hope you'll join in. Give a call. The number 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Diane, tell us about the two different organizations you're associated with. First, the National Garden Bureau.
Yeah. So National Garden Bureau, believe it or not, is 106 years old. So we've been around a little while. And we're a nonprofit organization. And really what we try to do is educate and inspire people about gardening, you know, like giving them ideas and telling them easy ways to grow hot peppers or whatever the case might be. So we have a website that is just a wealth of information. And then we do, you know, we do things like this where we're on radio shows and we do our own webinars and newsletters and that. So that's National Garden Bureau. And then All America Selections is a plant trialing organization. It's only, 12 years younger than NGB. So we've been around a while also. And I like to describe AAS as being the good housekeeping seal of approval, except for plants. So, you know, they put appliances, et cetera, through test in a home environment, and we do the same thing in a home garden environment, but we do it with professional horticulturists. So they are our judges, and they're looking at these new genetics, new breeding that's coming out, and they plant them. They plant the entries next to a comparison, like a similar variety that's on the market, and only if this new entry outperforms something else that's on the market does it become eligible to become an AAS winner. So when you see something with the AAS logo on, you know that it's been tested and trialed all over North America and that it has superior garden performance to other similar varieties that are already on the market.
It's pretty cool, and I love how you display them, the AAS selections, and give us some information about them online. It's a pretty cool operation, and the National Garden Bureau website is fantastic. I mean, it's got a lot of good information. Peter, tell us about Seminis and your work there.
Well, Seminis is one of the largest vegetable seed developers, breeders, and producers in the world. We're in a lot of crops. Peppers is one of our most important. We produce seed for both open field use and greenhouse use, and by extension, home garden use. And we do a lot of work in the home garden space of genetics and varieties that flow out of our commercial business. A lot of them, particularly in the hot pepper area, have very good application into the home garden space, from disease resistance to producibility to just all the unique types. We're in a lot of those. A lot of those spaces. I work with one of the larger hot pepper grower, packer, shippers on the East Coast, Bailey Farms. So I do a lot of work in my area of hot peppers in particular, more so than a lot of the colleagues of mine on the East Coast. So I've spent a lot of time in hot peppers on an annual basis.
Oh, good. Well, we'll probably get some questions about hot peppers as we go along, Peter. Thanks so much for that. And I, as an aside, I think I read somewhere where your company produces something like 3,500 seed varieties across 150 countries.
Yeah, it's we're, depending on how you metric it, we are the largest vegetable seed company in the world, or or one of the largest, depending on what you pull into that that equation. But we are one of the larger players. A lot of breeding effort, a lot of money spent on breeding, which does ultimately help our home garden customers as well as our commercial shippers.
Oh man, so lots going on there. And Diane, just back to you for a minute. What once these flowers or these plants are grown, so you've got a lot of people sort of rating them, and then who does the final word then? Because you're getting reports from all over North America.
Yeah, you're right. It's a very hectic time of year. October is when we ask all of our judges to have their ratings and evaluations in. And I'll give you a little secret. We're using technology. We use an app that the judge has on their phone. So they're out in the field or they come back to their desk and they're entering their ratings. And then we use something we call a Power BI report. It's a Microsoft system. And it pulls everything out and averages it. And so we have these parameters. You know, it has to have a certain numerical rating, and it also has to have a certain percentage of judges saying, yes, this deserves an AAS award. So if it meets these numerical equations, it just spits it out for me. And these are the ones that I'm like, hey, congratulations, Peter, you've got a new hot pepper winner on your hands. And then if they have enough seed in the bag in inventory, if it's all priced and ready to go, then that's when we announce it as an AAS winner and put it on our website. And then they put it in their catalog and they label it as an AAS winner. And then it starts to trickle out then to all the seed retailers, all the growers, and consumers can learn about it and purchase it at that point.
It's pretty cool. And I would expect that, you know, sometimes you'll have a plant that does pretty well in one part of the country and not so well in another part. But does it just average out that way then? Or?
Well, that's a good point and great question. For years and years and years, yeah, we looked at it and it kind of averaged out. But then, and Peter can probably talk about this, but we have a lot of things, and I'm going to say hot peppers maybe are part of them, that do specifically well in like the Southwest, or maybe there's a different variety that does well in the Southeast, or maybe it's a shorter maturity, you know, as far as getting yield, and that would be really good for the North. So we actually about 10 years ago started granting regional awards because we were seeing like, oh, okay, this pepper or the one we had back then was a celery. It's like it did great in the Southeast and Southwest, but it didn't do well anywhere else because the growing season wasn't long enough. And so that one was before we started doing regional awards. So that's why we brought out regional awards. So like if you go onto our website and let's say you search for a kohlrabi, you may see some that are national winners, meaning it does well everywhere, and then you'll see some that are regional winners, and you can sort by your region and get a list of some of those that are regional winners for your specific climate.
Yeah, that's pretty handy. And what does it mean for the winners? I imagine you're going to sell a lot of seeds and get a lot of plants out there.
Yeah, usually, you know, it ranges, but I've heard people say anywhere from, okay, if I were to introduce this without the AAS Winner Award, you know, I'll sell X, but I can usually count on anywhere from 10 to 30% higher sales, more sales, if it's an AAS winner, because it has that, you know, that brand, that badge on it that people just automatically accept and they want to buy that.
And you've got, obviously, I don't know, a half a dozen at least, I think more, categories. What are the categories?
For the AAS winners, for our trials?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when we were launched, 1932, we had the AAS winners, or the AAS trials. One was for annuals grown from seed, and then vegetables grown from seed, which is, over the years has kind of translated to edibles because we've gotten a lot of fruits in. So it was just the two crops from seed. But then over the years, the whole non-seed vegetatively propagated business exploded. And so we added that category. And then we added a category for perennials. So that's all cool and well. And we have four trials. But then for three of those four trials, now we also have container trials. So it means that a breeder will say, I want to trial this just in containers, or I want to trial it just in ground, or I want to trial it in both. So in reality, we have seven different trial types.
Seven different types. And, well, let's look at some of this year's winners. And hot peppers comes to mind to me, Peter. Seems like every year we hear about a new variety of hot pepper. Why so much interest in growing and breeding them?
Well, obviously, there's a global demand in different parts of the world for hot peppers. Different parts of the world want different types, and by that, you then you get to this way where people want to look at, if they can, in a garden, they want to look at as many unique things as they can. So, you know, varieties from Asia, varieties from South America, varieties from Mexico, varieties from Europe. And they're all different colors, different shapes, different pungency levels. How, you know, the movement now towards the super hots and the really, really crazy hot stuff that people like to grow. And that, you know, and home garden is different in a commercial space, obviously, because you can one small space, you can have 10, 15 different varieties and different genetic types, which is obviously not the case on most commercial operations. And a lot of times the types you want to grow in a home garden, you can't find at a greenhouse or a grocery store or wherever you might buy your plants or where you might buy actual product, you know, fruit. You know, you have a recipe you want a particular type of pepper for, and you can't go buy that type of pepper because it's just not available in a grocery store environment. So a lot of different reasons to grow all the different types. And, you know, one of the beauties is now they're largely available on the seed front. You can find almost really anything in the hot pepper world you can find available to you to grow here in the U.S. and in Wisconsin.
Yeah. What about tricks? Any tricks or tips on growing them in the Midwest and, you know, Wisconsin? That's what I'm kind of thinking about, but other Midwest states?
I don't have any tricks other than just to understand that, you know, a pepper takes a pretty good while to reach maturity, and then a lot of these will pick over a long period of time. So, you know, be aware that you had to, you know, plant well before your frost-free dates. You have a transplant ready to go, and then you nurture that along, and then, you know, take care of it on the back end, and they'll generally pick for a long period of time, and they'll pick till basically you frost out. So tricks-wise, not really. They grow just like other peppers. There's not anything really unique about growing them from growing any other type of peppers. Just, you know, a lot of it's maintaining a balanced sort of growing style, not too much water, not too little, and not being too aggressive in terms of trying to be too early. Other than that, no, they're not that difficult to grow. It's just a more balanced approach.
Yeah. Leslie in Ashland has a question relating to peppers. So let's go there. Leslie, hi. Leslie, are you there? I guess we're having some problems with Leslie. Maybe she'll call back and we can talk with her again. We had an email. John was wondering, are hot peppers, can I grow hot and sweet peppers together?
No concerns there. The pungency is in the variety you purchase and the seed you purchase. Now, if you saved seed, generally speaking, in the hot pepper world, hot is dominant. So if you saved seed from a sweet pepper and there was, for some reason, a bee or an insect moved pollen from a hot pepper into a sweet pepper, theoretically, the next year you could have a prodigy that is hot. But in terms of the in-year production, you can grow them side by side, no issues.
Diane Blazek, our guest, one of them, is Executive Director of All America Selections and National Garden Bureau. And Peter Westerbeek is working for Commercial Fruit and Vegetable Seed Development. The company is Seminis. It's great to have both of them with us. Questions for them, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us the email address, talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk and WPR News. Great to have you with us on WPR News. At the top of the hour, we'll be turning to a discussion about orchids, zeroing in on orchids. But right now, we're taking a look at All-American selections. We've been visiting a little bit about peppers now and taking questions there. You can join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk at WPR.org. That's talk at WPR.org. And I think we lost Peter temporarily, so we will hold off on some of the pepper questions until we're able to get him back. Diane, the All-American selections winners, maybe you could give us some of the winners of the All-American selections.
Yeah, we have every year we typically have about 15 new AAS winners, and ironically, this year, even though we named it the Year of the Hot Pepper for National Garden Bureau, this year we don't have any hot peppers. So I don't know. I don't think we were planning to. But that's the thing with All-America selections. We never really plan what goes in our trials because it's totally up to the breeders. But we do have some really cool things. You know, basil. I'm sure in Wisconsin you're having the same issues that we have in Illinois. And there's this impatience the basil downy mildew that's going around. And we have a new basil that's very resistant, and it's called Treviso. And it's a very nice, well-branched basil, so it doesn't get all tall and leggy. So a beautiful Genovese basil, great taste, and that one you really want so that you're not having to deal with this downy mildew problem.
I like that. And I saw on tomato you had Bada Bing, which is getting a lot of love. I know Melinda Myers highly recommends Bada Bing, but talk about that.
Yeah, it is really cool. And here's what's cool. It's from a Wisconsin company, A.P. Whaley. He works with a breeder that's out of Minnesota. And so this is available through A.P. Whaley. And, it's fun. It's a large cherry tomato, but this one, too, and I'm sorry if I sound like a broken record, but great disease resistance, and I think Peter had mentioned that, is that's one of the big things that the breeders are working on so that the home gardener will be more successful. So if you ever have had issues with Septoria leaf spot, early blight, late blight, et cetera, these newer tomato plants like Bada Bing are going to be very resistant to that. And it's also semi-compact or semi-determinate, and it's only about 40 inches tall, but yet you'll get a ton of nice, large red cherry tomatoes.
I'm going to get some of those for the coming year. We got Peter back, so that's good. And Leslie in Ashland, I think, has a question about blossoms relating to peppers, I think. Leslie, are you there?
Yes, I am.
And what's on your mind?
I've started growing some hot peppers here, and I grew Anaheim and jalapeno, and I started them really early. The plants really grew nice, and they're like 3.5-4 feet tall, but they didn't. Some blossomed early, some blossomed like in September, and then the fruit started to come, and then we got some, and that was the end of it.
Oh. So we got some differences in the blossom times, and then and Leslie, by the way, you're in Ashland, right?
Yes.
So you're in the far north. So are you, what's your zone there? Is it three?
It's three.
Yeah. So what do you think, Peter?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's pretty far north for varieties that are, I think both of those types are more, for Mexico and Mary's like that. But, I would say just up pot them, maybe start as early as you can and plant as soon as you can from a frost-free date. There's no real reason they should not have produced earlier than that. I mean, we normally transplant here in mid-April, and we're harvesting in June. So I usually figure, you know, 60, 70 days post-transplant, you should start seeing fruit that are close to maturity. Now, y'all are in the summer got much longer days than we do, and then you have start having a lot shorter days. So I'm sure the shorter day lengths for y'all impact, you know, the fruiting times quite a bit. So for as far as y'all are north, I mean, the sooner you can get into the ground, and if you can up pot, you know, take a normal transplant, put it in a little small, larger pot, a 4-inch pot, grow that for a little bit, and then that goes in the ground after your, you know, latest frost-free date, you would definitely have a leg up on getting fruit earlier.
Yeah. Okay. Leslie, there you go. Thank you very much for calling. Let's turn to Kathy in Amherst. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you. My question is about jalapeno peppers. I was told, well, sometimes in the store you get them and they're hot, and sometimes you get them and they're very mild. And I was told when you grow them, sometimes if you hold back on watering, they'll be hotter. And sometimes if you buy them in the store or at the market, if they have those lines in them, like the yellow lines, that means that they're hotter. So I can take my question off the air.
All right. Any truth to all that, Peter?
There is some truth, but it's a bit nuanced. So in terms of the cracking or the etching, whatever term you biologically use, that is a sign of maturity. And it generally speaking, the more mature the pepper, the hotter it is. That is largely true, but you get into the genetics of it, and that's not necessarily the case. You can make theoretically hot peppers hotter by stressing them, because the capsaicin expression is a response to, hey, don't eat me until, you know, I've matured my seed, that type of thing. That's biologically the reaction. And it is true that if you stress peppers, they will tend to be hotter of the individual genetic type. However, that comes with a cost of productivity and that sort of things. In the jalapeno world in particular, what you're seeing at grocery stores, at retail space, a lot of the genetics that are being grown by commercial growers, they're wanting them bigger. And in getting them bigger, they have brought in some genetics, and we're part of that has brought in a little bit milder genetic background. And I think it's fair to say across the entire jalapeno world, where at the retail side of things, the peppers are not as hot as they were because the market is demanding bigger peppers. Most of the varieties offered in home garden, however, either the older open pollinated types or the vast majority of them up marketed in the home garden space are not the ultra modern stuff, and are generally hotter than what you're going to find in a retail space now. And it's just largely being driven by the size that the retailers are asking for now. They want a plus 4-inch jalapeno if they can get it, which is a big jalapeno.
Yeah.
That's not what most gardeners can achieve, home gardeners can achieve. That takes a pretty high level of growing system. So, no, for the most part, stick to most home garden varieties, and you will have a hotter jalapeno than you're getting from a grocery store.
Yeah. Kathy, thank you for calling. Celia in Madison will go to you. Hi, Celia.
Hi there. It's a perfect topic for me. If you want, first the tip and then the question. If you want a perfect shrimp creole, it's using instead of the red spice that a New Orleans restaurant says to use. Use a sweet red bell pepper that gives the sauce a creole taste, which then raises the question, do sweet peppers grow better or worse in Wisconsin than, say, you know, the green bell peppers? Is there a difference in terms of what should be done?
No. I mean, all green bell peppers turn a color, either red, yellow, or orange. Red is dominant, so, you know, red bell peppers are mostly what's used. But all green bell peppers and all peppers will go from a stage of green to a stage of color, and it's just genetically defined. So every green bell pepper will turn a color, so you know just leave a green bell pepper on the plant and it will turn red, yellow, or orange depending on its genetics. Now, that said, not all green bell peppers are ideally harvested red or yellow or orange. We do have a lot of genetics that are selected to be harvested at their green stage. Jalapenos is a big one. In the commercial world, there is no market for a red jalapeno. Now, there is in Mexico, in particular in the in the processing market, smoked market, Chipotle market, that sort of thing. But in terms of fresh, we select jalapenos for their green mature quality, not their red mature quality. And it's some same for some other. Anaheim's is one, but there are others where we where the defined product is a colored product, and you select genetics based on its colored product performance.
Oh, there you go, Celia. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. And you can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Just as long as we're on peppers here, I was doing some looking around. I think I was on the Garden Bureau, the National Garden Bureau website, and mentioned that the hottest pepper is called Pepper X.
Yep. Bred by my buddy down in South Carolina. Now, that there's a lot of dispute in that world. The super hot world is they go at each other pretty good. There's some breeders out of India. There's some breeders out of England that would dispute his claim, but that is currently considered the hottest pepper in the world is Pepper X.
So you wouldn't be grabbing a handful of those and shoving them in your mouth.
If you do, I hope you're on video because I'd like to see it.
Diane's chuckling along with me here.
Yes, yeah.
I looked up the Scoville units for a Pepper X is 2,693,000 Scoville units, which is, I guess, pretty darn hot.
Yeah, your average jalapeno is about 2,500.
Oh, so 2,500 versus 2 million.
Exactly. There you go.
Oh, my goodness. And then, you know, just as an aside, the measurement was created by a pharmacist, Wilbur Scoville.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Something with just the amount of water it took to not taste it anymore or something like that. It was... very subjective, and then now it's obviously we do it in a lab, and there's a metric for it, and we test all our genetics to get average Scovilles because we need to know how hot they are. But yeah, in its original form, it was the amount of, I think, water it took to not be able to detect the heat anymore. Believe I'm right on that.
Oh my goodness me. What do they do with those super hot peppers? I mean, how can you even use them?
Well, I grow ghost chilies or reaper, a couple plants every year. I can't tell you I eat a whole lot of them. I do dry some of them. And if you get so many fruit per plant, you know, you just give them away or whatnot to people. But their utility is fairly limited unless you're a chili head. If you're a chili head and you like that burn, you like that, you know, that euphoria you get from eating something that hot. I don't know. I enjoy growing them. They're very pretty plants to grow, and they do well in even garden beds and home garden beds. They do great ornamentally, but yeah, the utility is limited to your pain tolerance.
There you go. Oh, man, Dan emailed his interest in hot peppers and hot sauces grew because of the YouTube show Hot Ones.
Yes.
So that's one that you've seen as well.
Oh, many times, yeah.
Oh, man, Diane Blazek, Executive Director of All American Selections and National Garden Bureau, one of our guests, Peter Westerbeek, works for Seminis, a commercial fruit and vegetable seed development company, a subsidiary, I believe, of Bayer. That's correct, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And you can join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. You could email the talk@WPR.org. I want to take just a quick minute here to talk about The Garden and Green Living Expo, that's coming up February 13th and 14th and 15th. And we will be taking our live radio show, Garden Talk radio show, to the Garden and Green Living Expo in Madison on Friday the 13th of February. We'll have Brian Huddleston and Lisa Johnson joining me. And it'll be, I'll be retiring in June, so I'm doing two live radio shows in front of a live audience. And one of them will be at the Garden and Green Living Expo. So we've got a kind of a special deal this year. If we'd love to have you come. We've sold a lot of, we didn't sell them. We were giving tickets free. You have to get the ticket to come. And to do that, and you really need to do that by going to WPR.org/presents, WPR.org/presents. And it's a free ticket, and it also gets you into the Garden Expo for free as well. So after you watch the show, you can just pop down to the, or pop over to the Expo, the Alliant Energy Center. That's where we'll be broadcasting from, and then you can just walk right into the Garden and Green Living Expo after the show is over. So that's kind of fun. And as I said, it's one of two live shows in front of a live audience I'll be doing before I set sail into retirement. The other show will be in Bayfield. We'll do Bayfield and Bloom in June. And I think there's going to be about a half hour after the show when we're off air, and you know, hang around and ask me any questions you want about what I'll be doing or anything insider-like about the shows. I'll be happy to answer those as well. So it's Friday the 13th of February. Go to WPR.org/presents and go to the site that says the Larry Mueller Show or Garden Talk Show, and you can sign up for those free tickets. But I wouldn't wait a long time, because you never know when the last ticket's going to go. And there is a maximum, somewhere 400 to 500 people, something like that. So, and I really, I love doing these live shows and love to see folks there, listeners there, and get to talk to them. So looking forward to that, and I'll probably mention it again in another segment here. But for now, let's go to Ted and DePeer, who has a question, I believe. Hi, Ted. Todd. I'm sorry, Todd.
Hi. I would have a question about red bell peppers, sweet bell peppers. First of all, I know you touched on this. There's your peppers start out as green, but some are advertised as a red sweet bell pepper. First of all, is there a difference? The second part is I have a hard time getting a crop. It goes, they're barely flowering. It gets too late into the fall and the frost comes along, especially with my breed called, which I like, is called Edgevarsky, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Peter, you've got a comment?
Well, there are varieties that we have developed that we would want to grow for red. I mean, we sell quite a few up here for commercial guys, Red Knight, Red Fish. There's quite a few of them that we market up in this area to commercial growers that are designed to be harvested red. If the variety is not marketed as, you know, for red harvest, it's probably and most likely going to be a pretty poor red variety. It's being developed and genetically, you know, being selected for green. Now, it takes basically 2 weeks or a little longer to go from green stage to red stage. We have plenty of that time down here in North Carolina, but up in Wisconsin, y'all obviously don't have the same amount of time. So the earlier a variety you can select, the better. Regardless of whether you're buying a green one and going to let it go to red, or you're buying a red one, there generally speaking is a wide range of maturities, both for green bells and red bells, and that's the same goes for hot. They're up your way, I would assume you would select aggressively for earlier genetics, which is not a big an issue for us. So that variety most likely is just too late for y'all genetically, and you probably do need to look for something that's genetically earlier, and one that is for red pepper harvest.
Todd?
I'm not familiar with that one, so I don't know much about it.
Okay. Todd, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Grant emailed to ask if you can tell him where he can buy a Chinese pepper variety from Hunan province that has the tips of the chill, the tips of the chili that grow upward, hence the to the skies description.
Yeah, mirasoles are what they're called, which means looking to the sun or sun facing. They're out there. I mean, they're not. They shouldn't be too hard to find. We sell a lot of seed in China. We have one called Skyline 3, which is generally available in the U.S., but that genetic type is very, very widely grown. It should be available, and Diane may know from – she knows more suppliers than us. I mean, I don't know if we market a mirasol type in the U.S., but I know they're offered in the marketplace. So you can look around, but look a mirasol type. They're widely available, should be able to be found.
Okay. Diane, comment?
Yeah, I'm looking here on our website with our hot pepper things, and we have a couple. I don't know that they're exactly, but like Quickfire and Buffy, I don't know, Peter, would those be the exact same? They're upward, they're sky-facing, but I don't know if they're the exact variety. You might be looking for like even a hotter Thai type.
Yeah, there's all kinds of those types that grow upward facing, so it's hard to know without knowing exactly what she's asking for, he's asking for. But if you're looking for mirasol types, you should be able to find what you're looking for. Number of companies are marketing them in the U.S., the Asian vegetable seed companies.
And the little confidential information here is we might have one in our AAS trials this summer, so there might be an AAS winner coming in the next year or two. But that's one of these things we just have to wait and see what the judges say about our entry.
There we go. Diane Blazek is Executive Director of All America Selections and National Garden Bureau, and Peter Westerbeek works for commercial fruit and vegetable seed development company, Seminis, and obviously knows a whole lot about peppers. It's great to have both of them with us, and you can join in, too. Give a call, the number 800-642-1234 or email to talk at WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Great to have you along for Garden Talk today. Larry Mueller here with my guest Diane Blazek, Executive Director of All American Selections and the National Garden Bureau. Peter Westerbeek works for Seminis, a commercial fruit and vegetable seed development company. It's great to have both of them with us. And Stella in Sturgeon Bay has a suggestion, I believe. Stella, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and share with people. A number of years ago, my husband was experimented with a new type of sweet pepper, and we just totally love it. It has so much more flavor than bell peppers do. It comes in both a red and a yellow variety, and the red is called Carmen, and the yellow is Escamillo or Escamillo. And I call them horn peppers because what they look like is a cow's horn. they grow in that shape, but not a long horn or a pointy horn, but kind of a blunt, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Stella, thanks. Comment, Diane or Peter.
Yeah. Those, interestingly, are both AAS winners. So, yes, thank you for trying some AAS winners, and we have to agree with you. They are great performers, great taste, nice thick walls, and they are. They're like, and Peter, you might correct me on this, like an Italian horn pepper?
Yeah, corno de toro, horn of the bull. Yep.
Yeah.
That's the genetic type in Italy and in South America.
That's very cool. Mike in Madison, your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. I got another bell pepper question, but I want to start first by saying Larry, thank you for your service to public radio. I'm so sad to hear you're retiring. I was hoping you were going to pull the Ruth Ginsburg style and be there till the very, very end. I love all your shows for decades, and thank you so very much. But back to peppers. I grow a lot of peppers, lots and lots of peppers. And I come to the other guy that was having trouble growing his peppers. You need to start your bells about 2 months before planting. So start them indoors at least 2 months before you're going to put them in the ground, let them get a foot tall, and they'll do well in Wisconsin. But for other bells, my question is, my chocolate bells and my purple bells always turn out to be very thin-walled peppers, like really thin-walled peppers, almost leathery. And I was wondering if there's a variety out there that has a thicker, more juicier wall for the purples and the chocolates.
Not to my knowledge. That is some pretty fringe genetics for bell peppers. I have my farm stand guys that do grow like Chocolate Beauty and some of the other ones, and they are by their nature thin walled. And there's really no commercial development to improve those genetics. There's not really a market in the commercial space for that. So unfortunately, that space is sort of living off some old germplasm. And I really don't have anything to tell you other than, yeah, they kind of are what they are, that, at least as far as I know.
Yeah. Diane, go ahead,
yeah,
Diane.
There's one AAS winner from 2 years ago. It's called Dragonfly. And this, in fact, our description says they have a thicker and sweeter wall, unlike the thin, papery walls of other purples on the market. Ah. And it went up against Pinot Noir and Islander, and it outperformed those. So if you're wanting to try one, you can try Dragonfly. I'm looking on our website. It has about 6 or 7 different online sources where you can buy seeds, but that's at least one to try, and hopefully it will be improved over some of the other things you've tried.
Mike, there you go. I hope that helped. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Diane, we talked about a couple of the AAS selection, All-America selection winners, and I'm trying to remember the ones we've talked about. I know we talked about tomatoes and Bada Bing, which is a really cool name for a tomato, by the way. But what are the other winners?
So the other one we talked about was a basil.
That's right.
I wanted to talk, I mean, if we're going to focus on just edibles and vegetables, Pure Line Seeds, which has a location in Wisconsin, is another breeding company we work with, smaller breeder, and they have a pole bean that's called Majesty, and it's called Majesty because it's a purple pole bean. So that was one that I wanted to talk about. You know, obviously a pole bean grows very tall, but it's beautiful. You know, it has the purple blooms on it and then the purple pods. So I like it because it's so unique. And then another one, actually it'd be beautiful grown together because it's called Kale Ruby Boar. So, you know, it's got the grayish green leaves with a purplish red rib down it. But this one is so different. We were talking about those 7 different trials earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And this one was trialed not only in the edible in-ground, but the edible container, and then also the ornamental trials. So even our flower judges were saying, this is so cool. It's really pretty. So we like to talk about ornate edibles. So you're growing something for 2 purposes. You can grow it for its beauty, and you can also grow it to snip the leaves and put it in your salad. So ruby boar kale is something pretty unusual.
That sounds great. And, of course, people are going to be able to go to your AAS All-American Selection winners if you type that in to your website. Online, excuse me, you're going to find all of them, are we not? In fact, I know we are.
Yes, we are. We are very diligent about keeping that up to date every time we announce new winners. And then, you know, at this time of year, we're finding out about more and more retailers that are selling them. So we also have the Where to Buy link. So, you know, if you want to go to Jung Seeds or Territorial Park or whatever the case might be, you'll be able to find them there.
What about winter squash? Didn't you have one in winter squash?
We did. It's called Butter Lamp, And so, you know, when you're thinking of a winter squash, it looks like kind of a dusty golden yellow pumpkin. It's that size. And but it still has this delicious nutty flesh to it. And they're calling it a mini pumpkin. So when I'm thinking in those terms, I'm like, oh, cool. You can use this for decorative purposes and then chop it up and use it for your Thanksgiving meal.
So butter lamp.
Butter lamp. Yeah, it's not in the shape of a lamp, but it's called butter lamp. So go figure.
Oh, man. Well, maybe, let's see. Well, there may be another one or two. There's Rudbeckia.
Well, yeah, we definitely have our ornamentals. So the Rudbeckia Clair Orange is super cute. It's an annual Rudbeckia, not a perennial. And it's wonderful for potted plants. You know, I like to say, well, if you're having it on a centerpiece or you want to put something in the middle of your picnic table or put it in a combination. So Clair Orange, because it stays a lot more compact. And then going along with that yellow color, for some reason yellow was popular this year, we do have a perennial called Heliopsis solgiato. And so this was our perennial winter, so it went through three winters. So it had great survivability, good sturdy plant, resists diseases, and then has a beautiful semi-double flower on it. And then our other yellow is called Coreopsis sunglobe, and this has a double yellow flower. So if you love Coreopsis like I do, especially for the pollinators, then sunglobe would be a new AF winter to try.
And one more, zinnia. We grow a lot of zinnia here in Wisconsin. I know that for sure.
Good for you. And so this one, it's a series that a lot of people, I'm sure, already know. It's the Profusion series. And since the 1999, I think, we have had probably about 15 Profusion winters. So these are a compact zinnia. It's not like you'll grow the 3 feet tall ones for cutting, but it's compact, it's bedding, very disease-resistant, mildew-resistant, just full of flowers. And this newest one is called Double White Improved. So it has the double flowers, and it's a very, very good clear white. You know, it doesn't have any fading or any yellowish tints or any pinkish tints or anything. It's a very good white. I keep saying my daughter got married 2 years ago. I'm like, oh, if she was getting married this year, I would be having those all over the garden so that when everybody came over, we would have white flowers.
So, Peter, back to you for just a minute. Somebody's wondering, what's your favorite hot pepper?
Oh, well, I grow a lot of different kinds. One of the ones that I grow, my dad loved a variety called Roulette, which is an All-American Selection winner. I think I'm right on that, Diane. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is actually a no-heat habanero. And my dad loved that. That was his favorite pepper. He passed away a couple years ago, but I grew that every year for a long time, and he loved to give it away and trick people and all that sort of stuff. But it looks like a red habanero, and when you bite it, you get that initial habanero sort of hit, but then you don't get any heat, and it's actually mildly sweet. So if I had to pick one, that would probably be it. It's not actually a hot pepper, but it is a habanero, mainly because of in his memory. But I do grow. I eat a lot of jalapenos. I grow a lot of jalapenos. That's probably the most common one I grow. I'm not. I like heat, but I don't go. I don't go running to it necessarily.
On that note, we're out of time. Boy, this has been fun. Thank you both so much for being with us today, and hopefully we'll look forward to another visit. Thanks so much. Diane Blazek is the executive director of All America Selections and National Garden Bureau. Go online, take a look. And Peter Westerbeek works for Seminis, a commercial fruit and vegetable seed company that is one of the largest, maybe the largest in the world. Coming up, we're going to take a look at a visit with Chuck Aker.